He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Sacrament of holy baptism, we have been raised with Christ to new life.
We have been given the new birth of the water and of the Spirit.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us.
confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor they sent out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we glow with this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is only so long.
from James chapter 1. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his face, his natural face, in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being not hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The 16th chapter.
Praise to you.
Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
If you wanted to sum up what it means to live as a Christian in a fallen world in 15 words, I can think of no better way to do so than how our blessed Lord does today. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In this life, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't promise us prosperity and wealth, freedom from illness and pain, and a life untouched by physical and spiritual struggle. Far from it. But there are a lot of religious hustlers and flim-flam men out there packing stadiums this very day and selling millions of books with this nonsense. But what does our Lord tell us? He speaks plainly and without figures of speech, saying, in the world, you will have tribulation. Earlier in this chapter, as we've already heard this Easter season, Jesus tells us to expect to be removed from respectable society, and that people who try to kill us will think they are doing a good deed, even serving who they think is God. And we know how Christians were slaughtered by the tens of thousands in the first centuries of the church, even as the church is still being persecuted in many places around the world to this day, even beginning to be persecuted right here in the land of the free. In the world, you will have tribulation. It's reminiscent of our Lord saying, if the world hated me, the world will hate you too. But the word tribulation isn't only the stuff of arenas and burning stakes and concentration camps. The word can also be translated as pressure. For even though most of us today are not being threatened with death, we face severe pressure from the world to abandon our faith. We have peer pressure. Respectable people who mock our Christianity, including pompous scientists and philosophers whose ability to mock far outshines their use of reason and honest scientific inquiry. We have time pressure. The cares and worries of this life that choke out our time and energy to pray, to attend divine service, to teach our children the catechism, to study God's word, and to volunteer to serve the body of Christ. And we have the pressure of our own sinful flesh, our own greed and laziness that we satisfy and all too quickly indulge by ignoring the Lord's attempts to draw us closer to Him. And instead of tickling our ears with a prosperity gospel, our Lord Himself soberly warns us that we will have tribulation. We will have pressures in this world. And as we have learned from history, the worldly pressures become all the more severe upon God's people during times of prosperity and plenty. We see this time and time again with the Israelites. When times are good, they are prone to abandon God and embrace the world and its ways. During those times of prosperity and plenty, their ears are not amenable, not open to listening to the word of God spoken by the prophets, warning them to repent and return to the Lord. In fact, they treat God's prophets shamefully, even killing many of them. They raise up for themselves their own prophets, false prophets, who scratch their itching ears and tell them what they want to hear, the false prophets God did not send, who proclaim peace when there is no peace. But it is no different for their spiritual descendants in our Lord's church. When times are good, Christians are prone to abandon God and embrace the world and its ways. It's an amazing thing, really, But it shows the depravity of our sinful nature, the sinful nature that always turns inward upon itself. One would think that during times of prosperity and plenty, the church would thrive, as Christians would give generously back to God of the many blessings he has bestowed upon them. But in fact, the opposite is true. During times of prosperity and plenty, giving and serving in Christ's church goes down in a major way. We can see this in our own day and age right here in America, where even during bleak economic times, the people have more than any other populace in the world ever has. And giving and service in Christ's church is far lower percentage-wise than in the poorest places of the world. Many American Christians make more in a week than many African Christians make in a year. And yet, amazingly, most African Christians give far more in terms of money and service to Christ's church than most American Christians. And like the Israelites of old, American Christians end up raising up for themselves their own false prophets, whom God did not send, but who scratch their itching ears and tell them what they want to hear, who turn God's house into a place of entertainment and preach messages that go directly against God's word, telling Christians that what God really wants is for them to be healthy, wealthy, and prosperous in this world. In the world, you will have tribulation. And the most dangerous tribulation of all comes during times of prosperity and plenty. For it is during those times that God's people are most prone to abandon him and embrace the world and its ways. The very thing he warns his people about time and time again in his word. You hear this warning from St. James this morning in the epistle. He says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Then he goes on to describe the difference between worthless and pure religion, concluding his exhortation by telling Christians, you, to keep yourselves unstained from the world. Repent. You have been hearers of the word, but not merely the doers of the word you should be. You have not kept yourselves as unstained from the world as you ought. You have been often more like the Israelites in the wilderness, grumbling and complaining about your lot in life than like the Christians you should be. Grumbling and complaining when you don't get your way at home, at work, or even in the church. St. James says, if anyone thinks his religion, he is religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. This ought to cut you to the very core. For how often have you used your unbridled tongues to gripe and complain rather than pray, praise, and give thanks to God for all his blessings? How often have you used your unbridled tongues to say hateful things to those you love or to gossip and tear down others, even your brothers and sisters in Christ? And sometimes, before you even make it out the doors of the church, on Sunday mornings. There are places in this world, dear friends, where you can be killed for owning a Bible or joining with other Christians for prayer and worship. And you have all too often taken these things so freely accessible to you for granted, behaving like the Israelites as if you loathe the Holy Word and sacraments as worthless food. Repent. Beloved, As St. James says elsewhere, this ought not be so among you. In the world, you will have tribulation. And the most dangerous tribulation of all comes during times of prosperity and plenty. Heed the warning. Repent, so that you might hear and receive the rest of your Lord's words shared with you this morning, where he says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." The word translated overcome here really means conquered. It is a form of the Greek word nike, which means victory, and which is the name of one of the most popular sporting goods companies in our world today, Nike. Jesus has conquered. He has defeated the world. He has conquered the devil, has beaten down death, and has redeemed your sinful flesh by his own perfect flesh. He won the victory on the cross and hands the victory over to you in baptism. He declares that victory in the preaching of his word, and he renews that victory in you every time you are absolved of your sins. His victory is your victory. The worldly tribulation, the worldly pressures are overcome by the love of the one crucified and risen for you, the one who never once succumbed to those worldly pressures, even though no other man has ever known or experienced the tribulation he experienced, endured, and overcame for you. And this same Lord Jesus Christ gives you a promise. Ask anything of the Father in my name, and it will be given to you. He's not here promising to give you whatever you want in this world, whatever your sinful flesh desires, more earthly possessions, more things to treasure here in this sinful world. But he is here promising to bestow upon you everything that belongs to his name, his holiness, his righteousness, his life, his love, his peace, his kingdom, which has no end. Ask for mercy in Jesus' name, and you should, because you need it, and it is yours. Ask for forgiveness in Jesus' name, and you should, because you need it, and it is yours. Ask for heavenly wisdom, strength, and perseverance in Jesus' name, and you should, because you need them, and they are yours. Ask for salvation in Jesus' name. And you should, because you need it. And it is most assuredly yours. The guarantee of this is before you right now, at this very moment. For here in his holy house, your Lord Jesus Christ comes to be in your midst to bestow his grace, mercy, and love, and his very peace upon you. To feed you with the sweet honey of his word, through which he warns you of the tribulation you will face in this world, the tribulation which is all too often taken you captive, so that you would repent and return to him who has overcome, conquered the world for you. The food he gives of you to eat here is anything but worthless. It is the food of himself. The food of his very flesh and blood, given and shed for you, the very same flesh and blood by which he conquered sin, death, Satan, and this sinful world for you. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Come, beloved, eat and drink of the victory, that you might be strengthened and preserved in him who is the victor, to depart from here to battle against the worldly pressures you will most certainly face in this world, striving against the temptation to fall into the worthless religion St. James warns you about, storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth, knowing all the while, during your struggle, that that your Lord Jesus Christ has conquered the world for you, has won forgiveness, life, and salvation for you, that he is always there, ready to receive you and win you back into his kingdom. For he is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, through your infinite mercy, you sent your only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sin, that we may with confidence approach your throne of grace and receive help in time of need. Grant that as your redeemed children, we may ever hold fast to Christ crucified through the power of the Holy Spirit, and so give ourselves to confident intercession for all in need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty and everlasting Lord, grant that our ears may hear your word so that we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest your truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Mighty Lord, through your beloved Son, you have created and then redeemed all in love. Grant to us such a measure of your grace that we may love and care for one another, serving you through caring for all in need, both within and outside our congregation, and that we would give back to you generously of the blessings we have received, so that your ministry and mission may go forth from us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, governor of all, you established peace and order in this world through your servants who bear the sword. May all public servants who work to establish, administer, and judge our laws receive a measure of your wisdom and grace, that through their service, our inner cities, countrysides, and all places within our land may enjoy good governance and a share in the abundance of creation. Lord, in your mercy. O Father in heaven, your love embraces all your children. We ask your mercy and kindness for all our brothers and sisters who battle illnesses of body or soul, are grieving or lonely, and all in need in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Donna Bebo, Joan Birch, Vivian Strom, Marlene Wiltshire, Dick Weiser, Bill Harmon, Ken Hill, Dick Kohler, Joyce Kohler, Ella Shaw, Samantha Packard, Corrine Ellenboss, Tom Ellenboss, Shirley Curry, Scott McCollum, Landon Cole, Fred Glazer, Charles Shaw, Margaret Duby, Lloyd and Lyle Duby, James Whiting, Maxine Cole, Sally Messer, Phil Warsaw, Lee G, Sherry Schaub, Joseph Tolk, Samantha Tolk, Elaine Wood, Pastor Dan Chambers, G.N. Weiser, Dan Free, Rosemary Reichart, Sandra Goodrow, and Candace, friend of Bill Reichart. Strengthen them by your Holy Spirit, that they may know the comfort of dwelling in your gracious presence, and looking for healing at your loving hand, they might always find it. Lord, in your mercy. Father of glory, your Son has set before us a feast of life that we may receive in his body and blood forgiveness for all our sins and the pledge of a glorious resurrection. Grant your people faith to receive in a worthy manner the gifts the Savior provides, and may the Holy Eucharist we celebrate today bear the fruit of love in our lives. Lord, in your mercy. Ever living one, your Son is the resurrection and the life. Receive today our thanks and praise for all who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labors. Bring us with them to the joyful resurrection on the last day, that together we may behold your new heavens and new earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, kind Father, for we ask it all in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Son into our flesh, to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This too, as often as you drink it, in remembrance
of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you. The very blood of Christ shed for you.
The very body of Christ.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
May the Lord bless and keep you in your baptism of Father, Jesus Christ.
The very blood of Christ shed for you.
Thank you.
precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Favor and give you peace.